This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And as you know, or some of you may know, we do counseling here at Blazing Grace, in person in Chandler, and also by Zoom. Some of the Zoom counseling we do includes people outside the U.S., including in the U.K., Canada, other countries. And recently I was working with a couple in their 60s, and I keep seeing the same theme over and over again, is that most American Christians, and I would say 90 to 95% of the people who come to us for help, are isolated. They have no close friends who they can share with at a heart level. I'm not just talking about bro talk or sister talk with, you know, how's the family. And I'm talking about stuff you're really struggling with. And this issue with the Christians being isolated, this is a big reason why the churches came apart like a cheap watch when COVID hit in 2020. Because we're not connected to others, and the early church was devoted to teaching, fellowship, and prayer. But we're blowing the fellowship part, and a lot of churches have even killed the prayer meeting. So I want to challenge you and remind you that it is so critical that you are walking with another brother or sister once a week. You're meeting with them, and you're sharing your heart. You're sharing what you're going through. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It just breaks my heart when often the first thing we hear people who call us is, I have no one to talk to. And these are people who have been in the church for decades. And this is, I don't think I've heard this message in the church much, but it's very critical. I mean, more and more studies are coming out of the effects of isolation. And the U.S. government did a study or came out with a note from the CDC last year about the epidemic of isolation in the U.S. This is a big deal. We cannot walk in isolation, especially in a time that is so dark. So if you're a believer, you got to be meeting with another Christian every week for the purpose of support, encouragement, and prayer. That has to come through loud and clear. This is supposed to be a part of your Christian walk. And so I was talking to a teacher of a Christian school a little bit ago. She taught high school. And she told me she surveyed her students once on a whim and asked them, how many of you are struggling with same-sex attraction? And she said 10% put their hands up. Before we go further, you got to realize those are the 10% who are honest. And so today we're going to be opening this up. If 10% of youth are struggling with this that are honest, those numbers are going to be higher. This is something we need to be opening up and talking about in the church, because the people are struggling with it. We dare not go ostrich on it. We need to open this up. So my guest today is Steve Inman. He was born as a twin in Washington State. Although he was raised in the church, he became disillusioned and spent a large chunk of his life running away from God and hiding in the gay lifestyle. 9 years ago, God called Steve away from that place, and he now works as a staff member for Youth with a Mission. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So appreciate you doing this. And so let's kick this off by having you share your story.
Like you said, I was born and raised in Washington State. I'm a twin. We're the oldest of five siblings. My parents had gotten saved in the Jesus People movement a couple of years before my twin brother and I were born. So we were raised in the church. But I didn't really get it. I didn't really understand it all. It seemed to me like just a bunch of rules and a bunch of like things you have to do. It made us weird because the people in our neighborhood and stuff like that weren't most of them weren't Christians. So my mom had us pretty isolated with family members and people that she knew, like Christian friends of hers. But my twin brother and I both struggle with homosexuality, and we used to love to dress up as girls when we were kids, like really young. I think it started around one or two, but after a few years, my parents thought it was a phase that we grew out of, but after a few years we didn't, and so they started to get worried that there might be something deeper there. And my dad's half brothers are both gay, so I think there's a generational thing that's there. The my mom was pretty legalistic in some ways. She was we couldn't listen to music that wasn't Christian. She was very strict on what we could read and watch and things like that. But that was kind of our upbringing, and it was like the idealism of the 80s and 90s and Christendom. My dad ended up meeting someone at his job, and he ended up falling in love with her, and he left our family to go live with her and her family. So that added abandonment issues on top of the issues that we were already dealing with. My twin brother and I didn't connect with my dad, so we didn't really bond with him. I remember when he left, I was kind of excited because it was something new, it was something different. Shortly before that, they put us into school. My mom tried homeschooling us for a while, but it didn't really work out. So they put us into grade school. And my brother and I, of course, were bullied and teased, and it was really hard. The church didn't seem to me anyway, didn't seem to be any sort of solace or escape from that. Like, I felt like I was always the outcast in school, and I felt like I was the outcast in church. And I don't know if that's really true, but that's just the way I felt. That was my perception of it. My mom put us into a YWAM group in 91 when I was a teenager. My mom put us into King's Kids, which was a YWAM group thing that started in Port Orchard. And I kind of felt like the outcast there too. I hated it. I didn't want to be a part of it. The leader I felt like was pretty legalistic. Around the time that my dad left, there were some guys at our church who kind of stepped in. We were going to the Vineyard, and there was some guys who stepped in to try to be kind of like father figures to us and kind of teach us and stuff like that. And one guy I really liked, because he was really attractive and he was nice, but he was Messianic Jew and he was super legalistic, and that helped solidify more of that legalism. I really struggled with a lot of legalism that I learned growing up, and he really helped with that. I felt like King's Kids helped with that. I felt like my mom helped with that. I felt like I could never measure up. I was never good enough. And so I just didn't want anything to do with it. So I started to get angry and rebellious. And in junior high, the bullying not only was verbal and stuff, but it started to get physical. And the teachers would sometimes laugh at some of the jokes the kids were making about me or saying about me. I know I was suicidal. I wanted to kill myself, but I was because of, I don't know how or where, but somehow I picked up like this really strong sense of hell and this really strong fear of hell, and that kept me from killing myself, which I'm really thankful for in some respects, because it kept me safe in that sense. But I wanted to be a girl. I wanted to be okay. I mean, I was lost in my own world. I didn't know. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm pretty smart, and then other times I feel like I'm not so smart. So I didn't realize there were things that I was missing, that I was needing to be healthy, that I wasn't getting. My mom was a single mom with five kids, and she had to work full time, and she had to do overtime when needed. So we didn't have a lot of supervision. So I was able to do a lot of things that she wouldn't have approved of. But she met someone, and they were going to get married, and then so she wasn't going to have to work as much. And I did not want to lose my freedom. I was getting more and more rebellious and more angry. I started smoking cigarettes. So when that happened, I moved to Denver because my dad and his wife were living in Denver. And I knew if I went down there, I wouldn't have to go to church. So I went down there and lived with them. I went to high school. I came out as gay. I was growing my hair really long. I started wearing makeup. I started kind of doing the drag thing there for a while, wanting to be a woman. And then that kind of like stopped. Well, I was kind of on the way to getting more involved in some of that stuff. But then when I was 21, I was waiting tables, and I had ended up working with someone who was a Christian. And so she would, you know, talk to me about stuff and tell me things. And, I started collecting some of the music that I'd grown up with, some of the early Christian music that I'd grown up with, because it was nostalgic to me, and I started listening to it. So God's spirit was moving on me. And so I accepted Jesus for real, and like walked away from that lifestyle. But there was so much, I had so many misconceptions and so much legalism and so much junk in me. I always felt like I was walking on a tightrope with this heavy burden, and I could never, it just wouldn't lift. I was like, I felt like I was constant. Every mistake I meant brought me closer and closer to hell. And I didn't understand grace, and I still struggle to grasp that, because I'm always trying to work for it. I'm always trying to be good enough to make it. One time when I was in junior high, my mom had said that God must have something really special for me and my twin brother, for us to have to go through the suffering that we were going through, being bullied at school. And so in my mind, that said that God was doing this to me. God's doing this to me. So I hated him. I was so angry, and I really hated him. So when I was in high school, I read the Satanic Bible, and I started playing with Ouija boards because I wanted to do anything and everything that was opposite of Christianity. And so then when I turned 21, I got saved, and I threw my Ouija board away, and I started like trying to follow God. But the funny thing is like, you know, when you first accept Jesus, you're all excited and it feels good and you're super happy. And then like a very short time those feelings go away. And I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought there was something wrong. And so I was constantly trying to get that feeling again. And I didn't really have anybody to walk with me or to teach me anything. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what to expect. So all my misconceptions like weighed heavy on me. So I ran. I spent a lot of time running. I would come back. God was always gnawing at my soul and always like calling me, and I would start to come back towards him, but then all my issues would just like come into play. So I just would run. And so I finally got to a place. I read a biography of a pastor who was gay, who left his family to pursue the gay lifestyle, and he said, God's okay with you being gay, but you have to work it out with him or you'll never have peace. Well, I just took his word for it because I didn't want to have to work that out, and I was afraid God would say no. So finally, after a lot of years, I got tired of having no peace, and I developed allergies. I didn't know what was going on, but my face hurt. It was in pain for like a year, and I had been smoking cigarettes, so I thought I had cancer. And so I started going to the doctors, and I was afraid that, you know, if I die and go to hell, I mean, if I die, I'm going straight to hell. I knew that, and I started seeking God and asking God, all right, I give, what do you say about this? What do you say about this issue? What do you say about me? What do you say about this? And so I started looking for a gay affirming church because I knew that, you know, if God did accept me as being gay, then he would have, or then I'd have to find a church, because I knew that sex outside of marriage was not his, was not the way he rolled. So I started going to them, but they were really activist-minded. They had a lot less Jesus than I was expecting, and it was really disillusioning to me. When I was going to the doctor and then walking to work from the doctor, I kept passing by this church and I kept feeling a tug to go to that church, but I was like, I don't want to go there. I don't think they're gay for me and I don't want to go there. So finally, after months of that tug, I finally showed up and I went, and it was the pastor during, I felt the Holy Spirit really heavy in worship. So I knew I was supposed to be there. Like, I felt like that's where I needed to be. And during the service, the pastor said, you know, no matter what people tell you, God's never going to accept the gay lifestyle because it's sin and God doesn't bless sin. And that's just what I needed to hear. So it solidified for me that that was the answer that I had been looking for, that God was telling me that that's not what he had for me. So I walked away from the lifestyle after that. And then shortly after that, I stopped masturbating because I knew that that was something that wasn't right and that I shouldn't be doing. And then, you know, I don't know how long it was after that, but God spoke to me pretty clearly and said that everything that I was looking for, everything that I wanted, was only going to be found in him. Mm-hmm. And so I can't, I'm just never going to find it anywhere else. And so after knowing that, it's like, where else do you go? And so even in all my wanderings, and even in, I mean, I'm doing the best I can to follow God. It's been 9 years and I struggle. I feel like I struggle so much not understanding things and not knowing what to do sometimes. But I know that, and one thing that I struggle with is like, how do you find that peace? How do you find that rest? Jesus said, if you come to me, I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. But where do you find it? How do you find that? But I know that it's only going to be found in him. And I don't know that I would still be following him right now if it hadn't been for that, for him telling me that. And the church that I was going to had a messianic Jewish service as well as a regular contemporary service. And I started going to the messianic one because I loved the Jewish flavor. I thought it was super cool. I learned Jesus in the Old Testament, which I had never heard of before, and I thought was super fascinating. But they were so legalistic and it was so challenging for me. And I finally got away from them. I finally stopped going because it was just really challenging for me. Kept solidifying things that needed to die. And I joined the church for a mission group. Outreach. And I'd never done a mission trip before. And we went to Guatemala and I fell in love with it. And I was like, I really want to do this. Like, I loved what we were doing. And so everybody's like, well, you should go to YWAM. And so I did my YWAM discipleship school at the end of 2020. And then they invited me to come on staff. So for the past a little over 3 years, it's been about 3.5 years, I've been on staff here with Youth with a Mission, doing the best I can. Like, it's really nice in some ways where I'm at because it's pretty isolated and it's pretty quiet here. I really miss the city because I lived in Denver for almost 20 years and I love the city. I've always loved the city. And it's so quiet up here and I don't drive, so it can be pretty isolating. But the nice thing is there's not a lot of temptation around here. And it's funny, after 9 years of, or almost 9 years of not masturbating and not following gay lifestyle, like the masturbation thing, it's tempting in some ways, but it's like I could do it or not. Like, it's not super hard. But the sex thing, like if I see someone that I find attractive, it's almost like I just left the lifestyle yesterday. It's really challenging sometimes, and it's surprising to me after 9 years here I am still struggling, still trying to figure it out. that's kind of my story. How much time do we have?
We have about 5 or 6 minutes for this broadcast.
Okay, so yeah, I'm just trying to do the best I can. I feel like I don't know that I've found my place necessarily, but found that place in Jesus that I'm looking for. I've tried some different counseling opportunities, but everything just seems to be closed doors lately. Mm. And so I know God has something. He has something planned. There's like this wall in my heart from when I was a kid against me and God, and I'm not sure how to get past that. But I know that he's with me because I see change in my life. I feel his presence. Like, sometimes I wonder if I'm even saved, but I know that he's with me. And I don't know how else to, I don't know how else to describe it.
Sure. So, Steve, I really want to thank you for being honest for something like this and sharing your story. And so some questions we can start off with is, first, I noticed a theme throughout your story beginning in childhood. It seems like you kept running into legalism.
Yeah.
What does that look like? What did it look like as a kid that you ran into going to that church? And how did it turn you off? What were you looking for?
I don't know that I really was looking for anything other than just friendship or belonging, I guess. I mean, as a kid, I was just into what I was into. That guy, that legalistic guy, Kevin, who was Messianic Jew, I remember one time he shamed me because I was really excited about, I don't know, I had gotten some poster of some singer I liked or whatever, and I was talking to him about it because I was all excited about it. And he shamed me because I talked to him about this singer and I wasn't talking to him about God. And I remember just being crushed because I really cared about his opinion, you know. I was just being me, you know. Like when I was dressing up as a girl as a kid, I was just doing what was natural to me. And my parents stopped letting us do that. And we had to sneak around and hide that and like pretend in different ways or whatever and get in trouble when we got caught, you know. But to me, it was just being me, you know. I wasn't trying to be bad necessarily. I was just being me, you know.
So in legalism, I think of that Christianity just a set of rules, and if you don't follow those rules, you're out. And I guess with legalism, a big chunk of what is usually missing is a relationship with God, or a strong prayer life, or learning how to rest with him, or what worship looks like. Those type of things that come from the heart and not just checking off a list. Does that resonate with any of what you saw?
I don't know that it necessarily resonates with what I saw, but it definitely resonates with the way I interpreted things, like the way I grasped things. I mean, I still struggle with that. I mean, I shut my heart down when I was young, so I don't know how do I find God with my heart if it shut down, you know? Mm. So to me, it's just a bunch of rules. It's just a bunch of, like, do this, do that. Like, I remember in the DTS, they were telling us that, you know, you could keep all the rules perfectly, but not keep it in the spirit of the law or whatever. And I was so mad. I was like, don't tell me that. Don't tell me I can keep it and then still miss it. Like, that's not fair. I was so mad.
So we got about a minute left here, and as we're closing, and just so our listeners know, we're going to continue this conversation with Steve next week. But I want to share with everyone and you, Steve, one of the reasons that I was looking forward to having you on is because you're in that kind of in-between growing place. And not everything is smooth and happy endings. And I think there are a lot of people who are where you are in that in-between growing place. And I just wanted to say before everyone, that's okay. God does not freak out because we're still struggling or still have questions or still trying to find him. So, Steve, 30 seconds, anything you want to say?
I'm just thankful that he walks with me and he hasn't given up on me, because I would have given up on me. I'm just thankful that he's there.
Mm. All right, my friend. Well, thank you for joining us. And my friends, we're going to continue this conversation with Steve next week. So I encourage you to tune in at that time. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.